We'll go to the Maine Board of Environmental Protection's public hearing on the Maine oil tanker and terminal rules.
When I got there, the meeting was underway. A Coast Guard official was speaking.
As regulators and stewards of the environment, we need to work in concert to develop a total safety net, a total system of protection. We should scrupulously avoid duplication of effort and potentially inconsistent actions, which invariably lead to confusion and a degradation of safety. State government, particularly one like the state of Maine, obviously plays a role in developing certain aspects of the overall safety program that's put together to protect our pristine waters. We clearly share common goals and visions. The question is how we interact in developing that comprehensive safety plan. Over the years, the First Coast Guard District, which I'm a part of, and the state of Maine have partnered on many initiatives designed to protect the environment and promote safety. For example, in Maine, there is an extremely active core safety forum, co-chaired by Maine DEP, which addresses prevention and waterways management issues impacting Maine waters. Through our joint efforts, the forum has enjoyed many successes, including the establishment of underkeel clearance guidelines, a new weather service buoy off the Port of Portland, and the designation of a recommended route for large commercial vessels transiting Penobscot Bay. The Coast Guard and Maine DEP also work hand-in-hand on the area committee, addressing pollution response and contingency planning. This August group was recently selected as a model or best practice in federal and state relations. Finally, the First Coast Guard District, in cooperation and consultation with state governments throughout New England and New York, recently promulgated the first ever regional regulated navigation area. And this is very important. This navigational area addressed unique concerns in the First District waters. All the states had an opportunity to participate in that process. The RNA, or the Regulated Navigation Area, delineates special rules for tug and barge operations carrying petroleum products in our environmentally sensitive waters. And again, I have to emphasize that all states participated in that effort. The list that I've just given is not exhaustive. It's merely illustrative of the close working relationship that the Coast Guard enjoys with its partners in the state. There are, however, certain limited areas where state regulation, while it may be well-intended, is counterproductive to our common goals. State regulation of vessel design, construction, equipment, manning, and operations, areas traditionally managed and under the exclusive domain of the Coast Guard, is problematic. And why is that? Because breaking ranks with universally accepted international standards weakens the overarching regulatory regime. It creates confusion and uncertainty in the industry, which potentially leads to a degradation in safety. And it triggers preemption issues. Several people have talked about the legal issues associated with that, and that is the preemption issue. If individual states are allowed to regulate tank vessels and their operations, several adverse consequences could ensue. First, the United States' leadership position in the international regulatory community would be severely undermined. Most, if not all, of the Coast Guard regulations in this area are premised on international standards ratified by the United States government. These international instruments are the result of hard-fought negotiations at the International Maritime Organization, or IMO, negotiations led by the United States. We typically argue for and are successful in achieving tougher standards than the rest of the international community may initially want to put in place. If individual states in the United States are allowed to enact their own rules, international players will quickly lose interest in tougher international standards. There simply will be no incentive for them to agree to these tougher standards if they are not uniformly applied throughout the world. Taken to the extreme, state regulation of tank vessel operations could undermine international maritime law. Second, state regulations will lead to a patchwork quilt of regulations governing petroleum industry. Such a scheme will lead to confusion and uncertainty. As it is, in my opinion, and it's only my opinion, tank vessel masters spend an inordinate amount of time trying to remain conversant in the ever-changing and voluminous international standards that they have to comply with, rather than skills and navigational practices, collision avoidance techniques, or cargo handling operations, they're working to be a seawater, and we don't need any more waters. Rather, if you ever walked into a ship captain's stateroom, you'd see volumes upon volumes of regulations, Coast Guard regulations, SOLAS regulations, the ISM code, and the STCW, all international standards. You'd be hard-pressed to find a Falwell's or a Knight's, the traditional Bibles of the professional mariner that govern their operations and what they're paid to do. More regulations simply do not translate into improved safety. On a similar vein, incorporating federal standards by reference does not remedy the problem. Rather, what results are two entities potentially rendering differing opinions to the same rules. Conflicting interpretations, again, lead to industry confusion, uncertainty, and potentially a reduced level of safety. Imagine, if you will, a tank captain offshore with a state-licensed pilot on board trying to figure out which rule to obey, which order to comply with, the one issued by the Coast Guard or the one issued by the state, in that critical moment of time between disaster and success or prevention. I don't think that's what we're looking for. Moreover, incorporating federal regulations by reference adds no value, none, to the overall safety system that's currently in place, and it fails to eliminate preemption. For a moment, preemption. I'll leave this dry legal discussion to others, but I would be remiss, however, if I didn't advise you that state regulation of tank vessel design, construction, equipment, manning, and operations violates the Supremacy Clause of the Constitution and international agreements that the United States has ratified. The United States position regarding preemption, as someone earlier alluded to, is clearly reflected in the government's certiorari petition in the recently filed case of Intertanko v. Locke, and I'll provide a copy of that, of the U.S.'s position to this body. A couple of final points. First, I should note that a commandant of the Coast Guard, who could not be here today, has previously conveyed the agency's position in a letter dated December 17, 1998, to Governor King. Most recently, my boss, Admiral Richard Larrabee, the 1st District Commander, has reiterated the commandant's position in a letter to the governor dated June 7th. And finally, as I alluded to earlier, the U.S. position with regard to the preemption of certain state regulations is clearly articulated in the petition for cert. I respectfully request that you consider these three documents and include them in the public docket. In summary, the Coast Guard and the state of Maine have worked together in pursuit of common goals for many years. We look forward to continuing our partnership while finding the best method, and I emphasize the best method, to achieve marine safety and protect the environment. State regulation of vessel design, construction, equipment, manning, and operation is neither the optimal nor the legally correct solution. Rather, the current comprehensive federal regime based on recognized international standards is in the best interest of all of us. I thank you for your time, and I